My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
What you do is feel up in there. Occasionally you'll find a snake in here, so...
Well, this is a perfect place for a snake.
Oh, yeah.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
Is it really tough?
I just got no angle. I'm just so sick of not having an angle.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Welcome to the Family Fun Center. Are we having fun?
Now, get ready.
Coming up on this special Dirty Jobs look at families that work together.
You're all the Puntsnesses.
Right.
These are the Bonnies.
The Batemans. Brooke and Lisa.
You're Ginger.
Jeff Fagery.
Rebecca.
This is brother John.
Brent, and that's Bryce. And
Madeline.
That's Jason back there.
Who's that?
That's my daughter, Kirsten.
So he's your boy?
This is Mom.
Spent the day with your boys. Are you guys related? It's quite a pair you got there.
This is the crew.
Sometimes the family that works together...
I'm the buyer here, so...
You're buying from your brother?
I am.
That's like racketeering, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty yeah. much.
Gets dirty together.
This takes muscle and perseverance.
Speaking of which, how long have you been with Dennis?
21 years in August. We bought our first larva 10 years ago.
Sounds like it's going to be a romantic story.
That's what we call...
This is the purest poo you're ever going to see. This is poo you can eat off of.
Dirty DNA.
You want to eat it?
Once in a lifetime, too.
Wow, that's bad. Oh, God. I've wanted to do this Dirty DNA special for a long time, not just because I love families who can actually figure out a way to work together and not kill each other, but because I thought it'd be a good excuse to come back to Baltimore and introduce you to the source of my own filthy DNA. That would be John Rowe, my dad, and my mother, Peggy.
Hi, hon.
Hi, Mom.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, son. Good to see you.
You too, boss. Everything good?
It's a shame we have to come so far in order to see you.
They live 2 hours down the road. I came all the way from California. I think in a relative world, I'm making a superior effort.
Well, we haven't seen
you. Well, I know, but you had other stops along the way.
That's true.
I mean, we weren't top priority.
You're always top priority. You're just not always first on the list.
A couple of hundred dirty jobs ago, we came to fish the Chesapeake Bay for Maryland blue crabs.
It's all cranky.
And like many local fishermen, we took our catch here to the J.M. Clayton Company for processing, where we prepped and cooked and ate until we had our fill.
This is the food that joins any true Baltimorean, I think. I want to thank the guys at J.M. Clayton for having us back, and I want to send things up to Idaho right now for, you know what's coming up?
Maggots?
Maggots is right, Mom. When it comes to maggots, my mom knows what she's talking about. And so do the Puntsnesses. Say, do the thing, you know, like the guys do with real TV shows. Like throw to the maggot segment for me. Say,
tell us about that.
No, tell them.
Tell them about it.
Not me.
Yeah.
Maggots.
Maggots.
We began in northern Idaho, where the Puntsness family has been raising maggots for over 20 years and is now one of the largest producers of fresh bait maggots in the U.S.
You're all the Puntsnesses.
Right.
Why maggots, Dennis?
It was by accident. My dad wanted to raise some fishing bait, and then he wanted to sell it years ago, and so we just brought them out here.
And how many maggots would you say are on the premises?
5 to 10 million.
5 to 10 million?
Maggots are eating machines, and with this many mouths to feed, each member of the Puntsness family must play a role in making sure these young maggots get their proper nourishment. In this place, though, proper means pretty much the same thing as disgusting.
These were salmon at one point?
Those are chum salmon. Maggots love that. That's all protein. Oh. Dump it on top there, and I'll give you a few of these bones to mix with it.
All right.
We want them to have a balanced diet.
Well, sure. You don't want to spoil the maggot early on with
no.
too much sugar.
I think you got the hang of it.
Thanks.
500,000 maggots eat about 700 pounds of fish guts in a week.
Do they all need to be pink?
Probably about 10% of them pink for bait.
It goes on the food, not the maggots themselves.
No, on the food, and they'll eat it.
And then that'll turn them red. This red dye looks green.
Yeah, it'll turn red right away.
These youngsters will be ready in a couple of days. Right now, we have 200,000 waiting to go out.
So this is the packing department?
It is.
It is.
Yep.
This is the container we measure them in, so we want to fill it up to the top here.
All right. Why are you laughing? You said go very slowly.
You're doing awesome. You're just a little slow.
See, it's what I like is the way you pepper the positive feedback with that kind of soul-deadening criticism. It's really fantastic.
You have to kind of fit this. Careful.
What?
Go ahead.
What?
Well, you have to be careful because it's not a real good fit.
Look at me. I got this thing. You know what? If something goes wrong now, I got two people to blame. There's a lot of unauthorized touching going on.
That's why we're standing back here.
Okay.
That's why we're standing
somewhere we can split the difference. You can stand close enough to talk, but not so close that you got to get all grabby.
Are they done yet?
I'll let you know when it's done, Mom. All right. I'll give you a sign. It'll be along the lines of, it's done. It's done.
It's done.
Our quest for disgusting, squirmy things takes us from land-based maggots to water-based leeches in northern Minnesota.
All right, these are the boys from the Bartus Bait Shop, I suppose. Jeff Fagery, that's his brother John. Come on over here. You're Stan, right?
Yep.
Our goal today is leeches, right?
You got it.
Are they going to hop on us and suck our own blood?
Well, Mike, I'd be scared if I was you.
A floating piece of foam marks the location of the tin envelope traps that lie on the shallow, muddy bottom.
It really is just like an envelope. And then you just grab these guys and pull them. So those are the ones you can shake out. The rest, you got to reach in and grab. He wants to latch on?
He wants to go back into the lake.
So he's just latched on to me.
But they won't suck blood or nothing, the leech.
Thought they all sucked blood.
Blood suckers do.
That makes sense. What with the name and all. And there you go. Get yourself a pile of leeches. Tell me you're making some decent money doing this.
A little over $1,000.
$1,000 a day? That's a good day. I'm rethinking my whole career, Stan, to tell you the truth. The catch of the day. Some leeches. Some money. See you back at the shop.
Back at Leech headquarters, it's time for the traditional weigh-in.
Hey, you didn't do too bad there, Mike.
As well as some good old-fashioned sibling rivalry.
You know what, though? They looked a little smaller today.
Did they?
Yeah. Stan, are they running smaller today?
No, they're not.
Bull Stan, I think they are.
They just need to be graded.
These smaller ones, they got to come out of there. Yes, I'm the buyer here, so.
I thought you were the owner.
I am, but I'm buying them.
You're buying from your brother?
Yep.
That's like racketeering, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a nice run of leeches, but if he takes the smaller stuff off and keeps the bigger stuff, he can get paid more for them.
Next, the leeches are separated by size and weighed. Finally, the sized and weighed leeches are poured into holding pens where they'll frolic gleefully with their pals until that fateful day when they'll become dinner for a Minnesota game fish.
Is there anything I should have asked you about leeches that I didn't?
We occasionally eat them.
No.
You will be surprised what it'll do for you.
I hear that all the time, John.
Yeah.
All right, let's fry up some leeches.
Well, there we go.
Sometimes they make a little noise, too.
Yep. Hear that? It's a leech cry.
The leeches are making that
yeah.
sound? Oh, this is downright barbaric.
Awesome.
Let's start with the Chipotle.
Hammer, my good.
You know what? It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
You're still crazy, but the leeches are good.
That's what we tried to tell you.
Okay. We got a porta potty around here somewhere?
Yeah.
The sun is beating down. We're putting a dent in the crabs, and we're going to continue to do this. But you guys want a tour of the JM plant?
I'd love to have a tour.
We're walking around?
Okay. Wait a minute now.
Each introduce you to the people? What?
Let me finish this crab.
Can we come back to the crabs?
Yeah. There's going to be like a big, long commercial.
That,
and then you
boy,
can... Oh, you know what that is. That's called... tell them what it's called.
That's called the...
It's a big hunk of white meat.
You know.
Big hunk of white meat. There'll be more big hunks of white meat when we come back. How's that for a tease?
Coming up...
You must be Richard.
I'm Jean.
Bill?
Behind the inviting walls of this family-owned candy store...
Lovely little shop you have here.
A clash of creative egos...
You're a caramel corn specialist.
Yeah, I'm very sure. particular.
...leads to a catastrophic candy confrontation.
You've never had a chocolate fight.
We've never had one.
Where's it at?
I just saw the chocolate fly.
Just a touch of resentment.
And later,
where did this come from?
The family secret.
This came from our donkeys.
For the world's best coffee.
I wish you could smell this.
All right, so I'm reconnecting with some of my favorite filthy families on the face of the earth, and I'm doing it here at J.M. Clayton, site of a dirty job many years ago where they pick crabs like nobody's business. My own dad involved in the process right now, getting a lesson from the master. That is Sissy, who took me to school years ago. Sissy, how's he doing?
Good.
His really? Name,
yes.
All right.
He's better than you. Well. He was better than you was.
Strict.
Sissy's probably referring to the head-to-head shelling contest we had last time I was here.
I won. Sorry.
So close.
And, of course, the lovely Nicey, just to my dad's right here. We'll say it. Nicey, how you doing, hon?
Fine, baby.
Good. I'll see you in a second. I'm not rightfully sure how to go from crabs to chocolate, but that's what we're going to do right now. The Wirtz family from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. You remember the Wirtzes, right? Well, if you don't, you're about to.
The business was founded in 1931 by William H. Wirtz. Now it's run by his grandchildren, who still use many of the recipes their granddad created 75 years ago.
You need help in the kitchen.
We do.
The Wirtzes make a lot of candy, but we're going to start by whipping up a pot of their best-seller caramel corn.
Is this your primary job here at the store?
Would you say you're a caramel corn specialist?
I am a specialist.
Good,
yeah, I'm very particular.
If you want to be a perfectionist confectioner, you'll need speed and accuracy.
Take your paddle.
Yeah.
Mix that around into a nice paste. We're ready for the butter now.
And what is the purpose of this technique?
It just makes it easier to stir. Right on in. Just like you're paddling down the river.
Yeah.
So then, and then you want to dump it in the window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good to go. That's ready to sell.
All right. So now we just wait for the masses to descend upon us.
Yeah.
But there is nothing that bugs a perfectionist more than his work going unappreciated. Before the pain got too deep, I thought I'd see what his brother was up to.
So we're going to make some caramel so that later on we can dip a few things like the pretzels and things like that.
Okay.
Another perfectionist, Bill, watches me like a hawk. One mistake and the family reputation goes down the toilet.
You're very schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy?
Yes.
That's Pennsylvania Dutch word?
Yes, it is.
And it means...
Makes you feel schmaltzy.
Does it mean well-rounded, highly educated, and charming overall?
I think it means sloppy.
Oh, yeah, I'm schmaltzy then.
Put your hand in there and kind of yooks it around.
That's another word I'm not totally familiar with, yooks?
Yeah.
With Pennsylvania Dutch?
Well, you're kind of noaching it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of dump it off.
I don't know if I'm yushkin or notchin', but I'm sure Eagle Eye Bill will tell me.
It's peanut.
The intensity of Bill's oversight made me realize just how serious he was about his peanut balls.
Take these out to Willow.
As I take Bill's clusters to be chocolate-coated, I'm curious if tensions here ever get to the boiling point.
You've never had a chocolate fight.
We've never had one.
The Wirtzes have.
Yeah, I don't know what the argument was about, but I just saw the chocolate fly.
Little sibling spat.
Just a touch of resentment led to the chocolate war.
From the war-torn chocolate battlefield of Pennsylvania, we're off to a peaceful Hawaiian island for a different kind of taste treat.
I've come here for a cup of Mountain Thunder 100% pure Kona coffee. Instead, I've met the Batemans, Brooke and Lisa, and that's Brent and that's Bryce, and this is Trent. What does this have to do with coffee?
We build our own fertilizer.
We've got a seaweed ingredient, a ground up coffee tree,
mm-hmm.
and cherry skins.
Where did this come from?
This came from our donkeys.
I knew it. Donkey poo. I'd recognize it anywhere. In the family enterprise, everybody has their area of expertise. Besides heading up the whole operation, Trent might also be known as the guru of poo.
Oh, my man, not on the tree stalk itself. You'll burn it. You got to pull it back a little bit. We want to feed the roots, not the tree.
Right.
When it comes to picking beans, Lolo is the expert. And since he's been here from the beginning, I'd say that makes him part of the family. First, the beans are soaked, then sorted.
How many steps are involved in making a cup of coffee? I mean, I'm, what, 5,000, 6,000?
I think there's at least 8 or 9.
Since Trent doesn't have 8 or 9 kids, that means family members have to double up on their areas of responsibility. That would make daughter Brooke a poo-shoveling coffee roaster.
Hey, Brooke.
Hi.
Roasting beans at just the right temperature is critical to making a great cup of coffee. Temperatures and techniques are definitely Brooke's area of expertise.
Hey, drop it 41. Now.
41. Dropping
down.
Now.
You can lift it up a little more if you want. Just don't smush your fingers.
All right.
Where do we drink it?
Outside.
My visitor mom. Center?
She's going to teach you how to make a good cup of coffee.
Your mother's out there waiting?
Yep.
Last time I saw Lisa, she was shoveling poo. I guess that makes her a poo-shoveling coffee server. Not the most exotic job description you'll ever find.
It's been a weird day.
Drinking superb coffee right in front of the poo machines that made it possible. How apropos.
I liked it.
Coffee, chocolate, and crabs. What else is there, really? How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing fine. I got a good teacher here.
You're Nicey's niece.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And you're just plain old nice.
Yep. Plain old nice.
You haven't slowed down at all, have you?
Nope.
You actually sped up a little bit from last time.
I'm getting old. I done slowed up.
Well, didn't you tell her about the dangers of being a show-off, Dad?
No, because I don't think she's done any showing off yet.
Stick around.
A little bit more.
Oh,
who says stick around? I sound like another host. Terrible.
Coming up.
Hey, Audrey. This is Ma.
Uh-huh.
So you're your boy?
All right.
The family that hunts together.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like grunts together.
The morning after my Wednesday night Mexican meals, you know.
And later.
Glenn, help your mother, would you?
A mother and son mealworm operation.
Anything you want the world to know about mealworms?
Has a thoughtful public service announcement.
They don't taste that great. Yeah, don't give them to your children either. Don't
feed them to your children.
That's definitely dead.
I think the last time we were at J.M. Clayton, I got more mail about this stuff than anything else people saw. This is Clay, your Jack's son, right?
Yes, and I got more comments about not tasting it than you would believe.
Because Clay and I were standing right here. This is Bader meat. And basically, this is the stuff that when you're eating crabs, you throw away.
Right, you throw in the dumpster.
This.
Here it is, absolutely.
Every last bit of unused crab is ground up for Bader meat. It's then used for flavoring anything from crab soup to crab cakes.
This is edible?
Oh, yeah. What's it taste like? I've never really tasted it. No thanks.
The reason I wanted to come back here was just to see if after all these years you'd be willing to enjoy a taste.
Absolutely.
It's Bader meat. I didn't think it was real. It is.
Good stuff. You want some?
No, thanks. I paid my dues 4 years ago. As did the family we're about to revisit now. They're down in Florida. They grunt worms for a living. Are you familiar with worm grunting?
No, I'm not.
Watch and be amazed.
Great. Thank you.
In the backwoods of Florida, a haunting series of grunts leads me to an unusual family business.
You, Gary?
Right.
Mike.
Nice to meet you, Mike.
You too. Who's this?
Audrey there.
Hey, Audrey. How you doing? Who's that over there?
That's Snap down there in the bushes.
Snap? Hey, Snap.
Mike.
What are you doing, man?
Getting worms up this morning.
Really?
This is the way we grunt these earthworms up.
You've hammered the wood into the ground.
Right.
And then you drag the iron across the top, and it vibrates, makes a grunting sound.
Exactly. Penetrates in the ground and causes them to surface. And so you just keep it on that slide angle, about 20 degrees. I mean, if you went this way, you could probably do it, but we don't want them to back down.
No, we don't want to send them back down to the center of the earth.
Very good.
Feels dirty.
It is.
It's like the morning after my Wednesday night Mexican meals, you know.
Mike. How are you, Mike?
So he's your boy?
All right. Yeah, he's my youngest.
This is Ma. So this is the whole operation?
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
This is the... This is the crew.
When Gary married Audrey back in 1970, they decided to make a business selling the worms to bait shops.
Right.
That's what, 8 cents each? Something?
Seven or eight cents?
Look at all those pennies rolling around there.
I keep this up, we'll have ourselves a roll of quarters.
Right. Very good.
But this is your main source of living?
Right.
Is this your, you support your family? Family comes out?
Uh-huh. Right.
Raised two boys.
Yeah, I tutored them out here in the woods on my shoulders when they was too little to even get about, you know.
Yeah.
And this is our way of making a little bit of money. And
it's still working.
It still works for us.
Come on, worms.
I'll talk to them. That's what it has. That's what makes them crawl. Look at here. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, see how active he is? He's liking what you're doing.
Oh, look at him. He's dancing. You like that, Mr. Worm? Yes, you do. Is your daddy.
Big one over here.
Thank you.
Once you spend some quality time with the worms, you realize what a pivotal role they play in bringing families together. Perfectly exemplified in this next touching story of a mother and son.
Dana?
Hey, Mark.
Glenn?
My friend, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I came from mealworms. I see potatoes.
Yes, we are. We're feeding. We're breeding and raising the mealworms for sale.
Who buys?
Customers, reptiles, fish.
Reptiles birds. Actually purchase the mealworms?
No,
where do they have
the
no money, no thumbs?
No, the people.
The people. It seems to me, at a glance anyway, that a mealworm is a big maggot, it seems like.
Yeah.
But
it's not.
But it's not.
You can eat it if you want.
Why would I do that?
I just want to see you do it.
They're good protein.
You want to eat it?
I've never done it, but once in a lifetime, so. Wow, that's bad.
Sure it's bad.
Oh.
Of course it's bad, dude.
Sorry about that.
Want to go to prison?
Say no.
Just when somebody asks you to do something, remember, you always have the choice. Just say no. Is it all down your throat or is something stuck in your teeth for later?
It's all in my mouth right now. I can taste it. It's not going away.
You got to be very proud.
I am.
Where do they come from? How does a mealworm come into the world?
It's bred, and then it comes up as a worm, and then they pupate and turn into beetles, and it's a little cycle that goes and goes.
This mother and son duo raise about 40 million of these mealworms every year. But before they can go to market, they've got to be sifted and cleaned and placed into containers.
You're doing an excellent job, by the way.
I appreciate that. It's the first bit of positive feedback I had since I got here. All right, well, thanks for giving us a look. Anything you want the world to know about mealworms?
They don't taste that great.
What can you say about a kid who eats a mealworm on national television right in front of his mother when he was specifically told he didn't have to do it? You got to think that kind of thought process indicates the presence of a loose screw. Maybe there's something to this dirty DNA thing after all. I can't prove it. All I know for sure is I got to come home more often.
Please do.
Knock off my mom.
We'll see.
The Zildjian Symbol Company is a nearly 400-year-old family business, founded in Constantinople in 1623, when alchemist Avitus Zildjian created an alloy of copper, tin, and traces of silver that had unique sound qualities. The Zildjian secret alloy recipe has been passed down between family heirs for 14 generations.
These are the brothers Brooks that played Jack and Bill and Joe.
Very good.
Nice to see you all again.
Good to see you, Mike. Thanks for coming back.
Well, thanks for having us back, man. I tell you, just few things remind me of home, like these ugly critters, but they're beautiful, aren't they?
Beautiful swimmer. They are beautiful. The blue underneath the legs, and of course the females, they always have the fingernail polish on, so that's a dead giveaway, but...
What's it like working with brothers, really? I mean, that's the question I should be asking.
You can't be trying, I think.
Would you agree, Bill?
Oh, yeah, at times.
And Jack? You're
absolutely, good. Absolutely. But, you know, hey, we've been together, gosh, how long?
I don't know.
50, some
and
years.
You should have been here when Dad was here.
Yeah?
Oh, boy. He
the whole sideshow?
Oh, he should have been.
That was fun.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a bunch of good-natured brothers. We found that out at a walnut plant somewhere or other not too long ago. Speaking of hard shells, you guys like walnuts?
Oh, yeah.
Love walnuts.
You're just saying that, aren't you?
Nuts are good for your health.
Works for me.
Nuts are good for your health.
Fedora Farms is located in Meridian, California. Here, each family member must play a specific role, and it all begins in the orchards with Brian Fedora.
You're one of the Fedoras, of course, of Fedora Farms, which has been around for forever?
Since the late 1800s.
Wow. What's this thing right here?
This is a shaker, a walnut shaker. It shakes the walnuts off the tree and get them on the ground so we can pick them up and get them into the huller and dryer.
Over 70% of walnuts traded in the global marketplace are produced in California. And this is how you get them off a tree.
Hang on.
In ancient Rome, walnuts were considered a food of the gods.
Hey, let's shake Barsky.
Romans threw them to wedding guests for good luck. Let's see if Barsky feels lucky.
It's not a physically punishing job initially, but I can't even. I'm lip reading right now.
It'll make you a better man.
If you said bitter, I'm with you.
Next, the walnuts are vacuumed up and driven off to the Fedora Farms processing plant, where the baton is handed off to Brian's brother, Chris.
And all the nuts go in here, and then what, into your factory or whatever this place is?
They go up and into the machine that actually removes all the dirt and debris.
When the walnuts are de-hulled and washed, the dirt and debris that used to be on them has to go somewhere. And that somewhere will have to be cleaned up as well.
We're going to the black hole.
The black hole. Great.
This better not be a made-up job, man. People really get in here?
There you go, Nate. You can just kind of lean on back.
Yeah, it's just... a picnic now. Do these need to be razor sharp like that?
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
I think you're done.
Is there anything on my pants?
After washing and sorting, the nuts are sent below to the dryers. I'm here to meet the patriarch of the family, Sib Fedora.
What are you doing and where am I?
We're preparing to ship these out. Just check the moisture on them. They're good to go.
So how do we go about the business then of loading the truck?
What we're going to do is we're going to crank this door open just enough to fill this conveyor.
It's like a waterfall.
This process is going to take about 30 minutes to fill 25 tons.
Got it. Are these good for you?
Perfect for your body.
Well, it's just funny because... as good as these are for your heart and your circulatory system, seems like everything in your whole place, you got to crawl into a little hole and knock the plaque away.
That's why you need to be healthy and eat walnuts.
If you go nuts for family traditions that go back for generations, you'll love the Parker family. I found them in Baltimore, Maryland, working at the McShane Bell Foundry. They've been following a tradition that was originally set back in 1856 for over 150 years. Each and every bell has been made with one very special ingredient.
Yeah, it's horse poo. This is Bill. Bill, what's up with the horse poo?
It's used as a binder in the sand to keep the sand together so when we pour the hot metal in, it won't wash away.
Gotcha. Now, Bill Parker, this has been in your family now for how long?
1935.
When does the horse poo become involved?
From the beginning. When we set the molds up, we use three parts fire sand and one part horse manure. That's the binder. And you keep making layers on the mold until it comes up until you get the exact form. In other words, there's a lot of synthetic binders you could use today, but it would take away from the history of our company. We do things the old way, the way it's always been.
All right. I'm taking a bag of horse poo to meet a third-generation bell maker. I think he's third. Are you a junior or the third?
I'm the third generation.
You're throwing dirt on the floor.
This is what we call our fire sand. It's a high-temperature sand that we use with our molds.
Sand from a quarry in New Jersey. And this is poo from a horse's ass.
That's true. That's the binder in our mold mixture, which we have to sift to get all the impurities out. There we go. That's probably enough to start with.
Right.
And all we do is just break it across the screen. It's got to be fresh and pure.
This is the purest poo you're ever going to see. When we're done with this, this is poo you can eat off of. I may be overstating it.
That's going to put a little much.
This formula was first concocted by Henry McShane when he started the company back in 1856.
Two parts sand, one part poo. Making a bell.
Little balls of the sand and horse poo mixture are hand-packed into the mold until it starts to come out.
This is Ryan, by the way. You are the youngest Parker?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And do you have a specific job here at the foundry?
One of my basic jobs here is making sure the bells are clean properly.
Yeah.
At a cost of $22,000, this 1,288-pound bronze bell took 3 months to make. Still, Brian's trusting me with the final steps of the process.
Well,
Wallace and a bell.
Ryan has never seen our show.
Well, the bell is tolling for these crabs, I'm afraid. They're off to meet their maker. And when we come back, I'm off to find my parents. They have wandered off somewhere here at J.M. Clayton. That's the thing about dirty DNA. It's hard to keep your eye on it.
Coming up, who's that?
That's my daughter, Kirsten.
In a family business,
make Fido happy.
You pass on your skills to the next generation.
Why are you stubbing flesh in the feet?
It's a job.
It's all part of fleshing out a meaty resume.
So how do you like stuffing those?
I like it. It's everything the vacation brochure promised.
And later.
How old are you?
11.
You're 11.
In TV, they warn you about working with animals.
How long have you been milking goats?
Probably for about 3 years now.
And smart alecky kids.
Do you like to finish that off?
That'd be great.
But I know how to handle them.
Saponification is spelled?
S-P.
Wrong. Sorry. Check back.
Well, I found my mother. She's gravitated toward the kitchen. She's about to slaughter more crabs at one time than she ever has in her whole life. How you doing, Mom? You feel the power?
Good.
Yeah, she looks very confident with the winch. They say there's nothing like the bond between a mother and her daughter. My mother wouldn't know that. She was blessed with three sons. But the people in this act know all about the X chromosome.
Mary Voss runs a company that makes dog food out of leftover cow parts.
What kind of dog food are we talking about?
We use the force chambers of the cow's stomach. We basically grind it up and then package it and freeze it.
Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of TV. I've seen a lot of commercials. Seen a lot of commercials for lots of dog food.
Mm-hmm.
You never see...
No, you won't.
Make Fido happy. You just don't see that. So what will you do specifically with the hooves?
What we're going to do with these today is we're going to stuff them with the green tripe that we grind up.
And the hoof stuffing expert is this employee.
Who's that?
That's my daughter, Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi.
She's stuffing the hooves?
Yes, she is.
I'm going to hang out with your daughter. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You seem like a nice girl.
Yeah.
Why are you stuffing flesh in the feet?
Oh, it's John.
How old are you?
18.
All right, you're old enough to do this, I suppose.
Yeah.
Show me your technique, would you?
All right. Well, you just take, like, a handful of green tripe, and you stuff it in.
How long has your family been doing this?
Since I was a baby, so...
You like it?
Yeah, I guess.
You still smell it?
No. Do you?
Matter of fact, I do, Kirsten. Yeah, I still do.
So how do you like stuffing hooves?
I like it. It's everything the vacation brochure promised. Come to Hollister, ground up a cow, stuff it in its feet.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we do now with the stuffed hooves?
Well, I usually just stuff the hooves.
I mean, I don't want to make trouble, but at this point in your life, you want to put the hooves in a freezer.
Yeah, I know.
I say the hell with it. Let's do it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm really taking you down a bad road here, like I'm being a bad influence.
Next, we're going to a farm where the animals are actually still wearing their hooves. And instead of getting dirty, I'll be meeting a family that's all about keeping clean.
So, this is Fat Bottom Farms, and that's a goat, and that's Fat Bottom Farmhouse, I suppose, and these are the Bonnies. Hello.
Hi.
You're Ginger.
I am.
I'm Mike.
Nice to meet you.
And you are?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Mike. And you?
Madeline.
Madeline. Mike. How long have you been milking goats?
The first part of making goat soap is to get the milk out of the goat and an answer out of the goat milker.
Did you forget the question?
Probably for about 3 years now.
Yeah? How old are you?
11.
You're 11. Now, before you start, what's the technique?
Well, you pretty much just grab onto it like that and squeeze like that.
Okay. Uh-oh. Maybe I should have paid better attention.
Would you like me to finish that off?
I'd be grateful. I'm starting to seize up a little.
In goat milking, Madeline is definitely at the top of her class. But turning the milk into soap is a little more challenging, involving all sorts of different ingredients.
Castor oil, coconut oil, olive oil, soybean oil, beeswax,
Each oil has a different saponification value, and you have to calculate how much lye to
I don't
add
know what
for
that
each.
Word means.
Saponification is the process of soap making, where you add lye to a fat and blend it, and it undergoes a chemical reaction called saponification.
Let's review. Madeline, what is saponification?
Making soap when you're... It's... Mechanic.
There's a fair amount of evidence to suggest that you drifted off again. The lye, the caustic, being mixed in with the necessary oils, that's saponification.
Mm-hmm.
Another word for lye is?
Caustic.
That's correct. And saponification is spelled?
S-P.
Wrong. Sorry. Check back. I'm afraid Madeline messed it up, Ginger.
Well,
me.
You're the expert.
Of course I am. And it's in.
That's how we do it on Dirty Jobs.
I like that.
Hit it. The hammer parts it. Yes. Come on, like you're angry. Yes. Yes, that's good. Come on, hit it.
Come on, man. Come on. That's.
Good job.
Look at the soap, though.
It's hard to compete with the professionals, even if one of them is only 11.
Oh, well. Found my dad. He's perseverating. That's what he does. He's a perseverator. He perseveres. Sissy and Nicey don't know it, but they just met their new best friend for life. And he will sit there in that chair cleaning those crabs with them until all the crabs are gone. He can't help it. He can't move on until he's done with whatever's in front of him. Me? I didn't get that particular strand of DNA. I'm all about what's coming up.
Coming up, out on the open sea.
So you're the first mate for your dad. Basically, you just do whatever you're told.
Yeah.
Families don't always work like they're supposed to.
Put those higher, huh?
I know.
Make some room to walk around over there.
I know. That's what I'm doing.
Get him telling the captain what to do. Bold move.
And later,
stab yourself once in the belly and you start to learn to not do that.
A family of mobile butchers.
The last guy to do that was Jerry around here.
Gets confused about which meat to cut.
That was my last one.
Hey, yay, yay. Well, the odds are almost incalculable, but that's Captain Bill James, who I met last time I was here at J.M. Clayton. He's the captain of the Valmerjan. He took us out, and I believe, if memory serves, we caught... Would we catch, Bill, 5 crabs last time? He can't hear me, but I think it was 5. 5 crabs. Anyway, his boat's here, so I got my parents aboard. We're going to go take a ride. And speaking of boat rides, I think the last time the crew and I were on a boat... was with a couple of Greeks down in Tarpon Springs looking for sponges. And if you want to see a family functioning like a well-oiled machine, take a look at them.
On the Gulf of Mexico in central Florida, I found a Greek father and son sponge diving team. Tasso Karistinos and his son, Anesti, have been harvesting sponges from these waters for years.
What are you, the mate? You the captain? You the what?
I guess you could say the first mate.
Hey, that's... Your dad's a captain, then.
Right.
That's got to be weird. So you're the first mate for your dad. Basically, you just do whatever you're told.
Yeah.
It's simple that way.
Yeah.
Doing whatever your dad, or in this case, your captain, tells you to do sounds simple in theory. But sometimes with families, theory and reality are two different things.
Put those higher, huh?
I know. That's what I'm doing.
Make some room to walk around over there.
I know.
Get him telling the captain what to do. Bold move.
On the good ship Anastasi, it got confusing trying to figure out who to take orders from.
Come from this way and shoot up that way, mate.
Are you going to go to, straight to the bow and work it back?
Yeah, I'm getting a mixed message. Captain said here, right?
Welcome to the bow.
All right, I'll listen to you.
Sometimes it seems like Anesti wears the captain's hat.
Here, let's move these other grass, and after we'll shoot the deck down.
Okay.
Other times, the hat flips back and forth.
Well, I'm more on this one, Mike.
Let's move over these grass now.
You don't really have to do that.
All right, let's kill that compressor.
No, we've got to throw a lot of water here.
This one.
And sometimes, it's like a two-headed captain, with both heads talking at once.
Where would its mouth be?
Well, they just filter nutrients. And the big holes in the top, they pump the water out.
Interesting. Working with family. What's it like working for the old man?
I've been out here for 25 years, and he still explains things to me.
Like maybe you haven't been out here 25 years?
Right.
one has to be the boss out here. When I say this way, you don't need somebody else to tell you that way.
Wait a minute. That one goes on this one.
That one goes on the other one. All right,
we'll work them out as we go. So
we'll start it from there.
To go
bring
back
it back
here.
This way.
But there is nothing that tests a father-son relationship like strapping 60 pounds onto your dad, dropping him into the ocean, and depriving him of air.
I can't breathe. No air coming in, man. I can't breathe, man.
Hit that, and it'll give you some air. Try it one more time.
Slack me out.
Go ahead.
Oh, I might have forgotten. There's also not giving your dad enough rope, so he slams into the boat.
Slack right now, man. Slack right now. I can't breathe, man.
There's nothing more uncomfortable than being near a family squabble while you're dressed like a rubber elf. I hate it when that happens. Fortunately for me, not all father and son teams quarrel. In fact, when your business involves sharp knives, science tells us father-son teams rarely argue at all. Actually, I made that up. But not long ago, I did meet a father-son team of knife-wielding butchers. And they got along fine.
How long have you been doing this?
Cutting meat all my life. Taught my kids how to do it. And Jeff does all my butchering for me now.
What kind of teacher was the old man?
I get along with him all right.
It's a good idea to get along with your dad when your business involves razor-sharp, deadly knives.
A dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp knife.
Yep.
In addition to getting along with your dad, being a mobile butcher means getting along with your brother.
Jerry?
Hey. Mike, how are you?
Good.
Related?
Brother.
Yeah. My brother.
Yep.
You get along all right?
Most of the time.
Good, because your face didn't exactly light up there when you saw him.
Oh, no. We don't have no trouble.
It's a good idea not to have trouble with your brother when your business involves razor-sharp, deadly knives.
Tell me you've never nicked your belly there.
I don't know. It's still pretty big.
I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just watching your technique coming at you. That makes me nervous.
You kind of learn to...
to not do that. Stab yourself once in the belly and you start to learn.
All right.
That's not what you want to do.
No, I think the last guy to do that was Jerry around here.
Yeah. Jerry, you stabbed yourself in the gut?
You bet he did.
Yeah, right here. That was my last one.
Oh, that's your last one.
6 stitches.
Yay.
So in summary, when your business involves sponges, it's safe for fathers and sons to argue.
Put those higher, huh? Make some room to walk around over there.
I know.
When your business involves razor-sharp, deadly knives, best not to argue at all.
Look like a job you can handle?
Well, I think I'll get through the day, but I don't know that you'll see me tomorrow. This is the kind of talent the old man has. He can steer the boat without even looking out the window. How do you do it, honestly?
With just some years and years of experience.
How does he do it, honestly?
He lies.
There you go. Thank you for bringing your lovely wife out here to hang out with us today in this filthy celebration of ours.
I was honored to bring her out here. I was afraid she might fall into the crab stew.
We were afraid you were going to run off with Nicey and Sissy.
Well...
the day's not over.
No, it's not. But the show is. We'll see you for the next one. Thanks, guys. Crabs for dinner?
Sure.
Crabs for dinner.
I know you've heard me say it before, but this time I'm serious. If you don't go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and very quickly suggest a new dirty job, I am quite frankly, and this is not hyperbole, I'm going to burst into flames. Send in your suggestions, preferably someplace cool. What was weirder, watching me on stage trying to impersonate a Broadway guy or watching me on TV trying to impersonate a host?
I think it was really strange to see you on stage in Oklahoma because we had never seen you on stage before. And we didn't even know you could sing. And then all of a sudden...
That's annoying. Right when you were making a really nice observation, a plane flies over. Now people aren't going to know how talented I am.
Were.